What up, y'all? You guys are listening to episode 45 of True to Size.
What is going on, everybody? Do not adjust your speakers. Do not change the channel. You are listening to True to Size. This is unfortunately not Alan Martinez, your host this week. It will be me, Lawrence Hopkins, filling in for the time being. Welcome to True to Size. We are a weekly podcast centered around the wild world of sneakers. I will be hosting today. I am joined by the rest of the team at Canada Got Soul, Joel Hernandez.
Yo, yo, yo.
And Alvin Martinez.
Yo.
What up, guys? I will admit I'm a little bit nervous, but I think we'll be all right.
You'll be fine. You got it. Don't worry about it.
So today on our schedule, we will be talking about a new technology from a brand that will probably flip the basketball world on its freaking head. We will also be getting super viral and talking about the 10-year challenge sneaker style. And finally, we will be writing our own version of a For Dummies book.
Ooh. For Dummies.
If you don't know what that means, tune into the next hour and a bit. But first, Alvin, I want to hear you do it, because I listened to the episode that you I was gone and it was really funny.
What? Oh.
Okay.
Buy around.
That's like a basketball.
I'll practice.
Fire round. We like to start every show with a quick hitting question from you, our listeners, the CGS fam. And this week, questions comes from Mrubella of Mississauga. He wants to know, what is the most devastating shoe scuff or damage y'all have had happen to a pair of sneakers?
Good question.
His answer, while you guys think about it, the worst thing to happen to me is a pepperoni dropping onto my triple white NMD. The thing stained so bad, I just made a custom out of it, lol.
Okay, true, true.
Like a pepperoni?
A pepperoni fell onto the all white sneaker.
That hurts.
You guys have an answer for that? I think I got a couple.
Nah, I gotta think still.
Mine, yeah. I know on my all-white Olympic Beijing sixes, like the white, they kind of look like a Lego midsole kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Chocolate milk spilled on the laces, but I just flipped them over. And then on my pink foams, the polarized pink foams.
Yeah, yeah.
Those came out a long time ago when I was a young, dumb kid. And for some reason, I thought I would do like a rock star knee slide in the middle of like a shift at Sivu Play when I used to work there. And the whole toe cap of both of them just peeled completely off.
Oh, shit.
Which was very dumb. So both of those, well, those shoes were definitely beyond saving.
Good job.
Yeah.
So not even a scuff.
Not even like a scuff. The whole whatever coating they put on a foam posit just completely came off. So that was not a good time.
Man.
What about you, Joel?
I think it was you know, the Fire Red 5s?
Yep.
Remember those with the 23 on the side?
Mm-hmm.
I remember I was holding a door open, you know, being, you know, the gentleman that I am. Holding the door open for, like, you know, people to come in and out. And it was at a supermarket or something. And then, you know, the corner, the bottom corner of the door?
Mm-hmm.
It's like a metal door. So, it scraped. Mm. My toe just scraped right underneath it. And it just, like, it, like, etched up my, like, the leather on the toe box. And that was it for that shoe. That was it for that shoe.
Because,
you know, it, like, all that leather just popped right up. And that was it, man. I couldn't even, like, unscuff those at all.
That's not even a clean thing.
Not even.
Damn.
Alvin, what were you saying?
What pair was it? I think it was one of my Fire Red 3s. I was getting out of the car. Or no, sorry. I was getting into the car. But I guess I kind of closed the door too early.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was putting my left foot into the car, kind of caught underneath.
Oh.
And like you saw like a scratch, but like some of the, there was three parts. I remember like three small parts where the leather parts started peeling. It was like three dots, but the leather started peeling.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like,
is that same pair that we got together? The Fire Red 3s?
No, that was the other pair. That pair's still good. It just needs some like restoration.
That was like your first pair.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard.
Damn.
Oh, man.
But But that's why I got the second pair.
Thanks for bringing up these sad memories, you know, Rubella.
Right? Good question, though.
Yeah, that's a nice question.
That's a good question.
Thank you, Rubella. If you would like to submit a fire round question and have us answer it on the pod, please shoot us a message on Instagram or email us at CanadaGotSoul. It is now time for the CGS picks. Each week, we pick an upcoming sneaker to analyze, dissect, give our thoughts about, and update you on. Then we decide if it's poop, scoop, whoop-de-whoop, or Alvin's trademark phrase, cute. First up, we have Alvin Martinez. What you got for us, bro?
Yo, so I have the New Balance 1500 made in UK.
Look at these things.
That features the supple brown leathers.
So nice.
Oh, man. where do I start? First of all, the supple brown leather is just, I mean, what more can you say other than supple? literally, like, so buttery. The color blocking is bananas. The mesh, I mean, you can't really say much about it, just that it's amazing. I mean, it's not any different from any other, you know, 1500 release that New Balance has come out with. But man, something about that supple brown leather that just, oh man, it just gets you. These retail for $220 USD.
Mm-hmm.
And they should be available, you know, at your local New Balance stockists.
Stockists.
But mm-hmm. we don't know where it's going to be in Canada.
Yep.
But yeah, man, these are gorgeous. There isn't a release date, so I assume these are like one of those like GRs that they just
show up.
They just show up, mm-hmm. and they're just on shelves and tempting people to buy them and stuff. yeah. These are if I had the money, a scoop.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I agree. Definitely, you could dress these up very easily. Oh, hell yeah. That brown leather is just unreal. It looks like it's on a wingtip. Like, oh, this thing yeah. is clean.
So good.
Joel, what you got for us this week, Bretta?
I'm still on that New Balance tip as well.
Ooh.
My pick was the 997H. It's pretty much like a 997, but it's, I guess, with different kinds of materials.
Mm-hmm.
It's still got, I don't know, they're dropping like all these crazy colorways. It's like an all white, predominantly all white upper with just like the outline of the N, the New Balance N on the side, and like a flamingo pink.
Super
with
clean.
The blue. Oh, man. It's,
dude,
with
that
the blue.
Pair gives me Huarache vibes.
Yeah, man.
Super Huarache yeah. vibes.
And at least that with this price point, it's at like $90 US. So
that's nothing, what? Man.
Yeah, it's yeah. not as bad as like.
Nothing.
But I think with the what? Materials that they use, it's not as, you know, like
premium,
like plush, yeah, yeah. As
supple
like, as like yours.
It's not yeah. supple. It's more functional though.
Oh yeah,
it
yeah,
looks
yeah,
like a hyperfuse sure. almost.
Yeah, for sure. yeah, yeah, pretty much.
These are dope.
They got like crazy dope colorways, man. Check it out on Sneaker News. They got like this gray with a pink mm-hmm. and. Oh man, it's just nuts.
I think Ronnie Feig helped influence a lot
oh,
of
for
the,
sure, yeah, for
the
sure,
pink
man.
On there for sure. Yes.
The influence of it, it's just it's all
shout
there.
Out to Ronnie, friend of the show.
And what yeah. is your rating?
Since it's like $90 US, I'd probably try to scoop these.
Yeah.
I'll try to scoop these.
That's probably 110, 120 Canadian.
120.
Yeah.
Yeah, around yeah, there.
Not too bad.
Dang.
Yeah. Maybe Groovy will get them.
Mm?
Yeah, probably, most likely.
Or even Soulstop has a pretty decent New Balance
oh,
account,
they do.
I believe.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
My
livestock, well. Man.
Yeah. Livestock. A lot of, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of them have a good, get the good stuff.
My pick this week isn't even a casual shoe. This is a golf shoe. Now, I know what you're thinking. A golf shoe? We don't want to hear about this.
Yes, you do.
Yes, you do.
yes, you do. Yes,
so my pick do. This week is the Air Max 1 golf shoe. It's basically what it sounds like until you see it. So it looks like an Air Max 1. It's like a no-liner, hyperfuse kind of upper Air Max 1. It comes in a couple of more regular colorways. There's one OG with like the gray and the white and the red blocking. But the one, only one that I care about, or I think anyone should care about, is the grass pair. So, like I said, exactly what it sounds like. It's basically the whole upper of the shoe is covered in turf.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not even short turf. Like, this is long, fuzzy
Like you can turf. Cut it.
Like it looks like you could cut it. Yeah. Yeah. Like you could trim it. You could line it up. You could do stuff to this. Mm-hmm. And the swoosh is stitched, which is very, very cool. And it's got the gum sole. I do casually golf. Super, super casually. But I could definitely see people wearing these on road. Mm-hmm. No problem at all. Because these are different as heck. Yeah. And these are right up my alley. Retail is set at $140. There's no actual release date yet. Mm. But if I do happen to see these around, I may, it seems like it'll be an outlet shoe, even though it's super cool. Mm-hmm. I don't know if a lot of people will actually go in on it.
It might not even show up at regular stores, you know?
Yeah.
What I mean?
Like, especially in Canada.
It's a golf shoe,
yeah.
It'll probably show up at like a golf town or
yeah.
whatever.
And none of these old white guys are going to wear that on the golf course. So, if I do happen to see it for, I'd say around $100, I think I'd be in on this. Cause this thing is super, super cool.
It's cool, man.
Yeah.
Dope concept for sure.
Yeah, that's it for the picks. Now let's move on to This Week in Kicks. Yes. Now's the time where we discuss the current headlines, happenings in the world of sneakers. This week we have a whopping two pieces to talk about. Woo-woo. One of them is super exciting and one of them is just, I thought it was kind of funny. So the first one that is kind of irrelevant says Lil Wayne, everyone looks to him for style advice still. Mm-hmm. Says he's rocking with Nike over Adidas. Yeah. Just when you thought that the Nike and Adidas feud was over in 2018, Lil Wayne reignites it in the second week of January. So here's a quote from a Soul Collector article that I saw, and I just found it kind of funny, even though Lil Wayne is pretty much irrelevant in the sneaker community. Weezy said he's been a Nike fan since he was young. And we quote, "I'm rocking with Nike. I've been rocking with Nike since a kid." The Carter 5 rapper said, only because the check was a little harder to draw in class when you was a kid. So, I mean, if you're about to draw some shoes and you draw some shoes with the three stripes on them, that's cool. And you know, that's cool. The girls like that, he drew some shell toes. Superstars. Adidas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But if you come back with that Nike and you draw that Nike, that same girl is going to want you to draw on her folder. The cover of her folder class for the rest of the year.
That's
why he likes Nike.
What?
Clearly
it
was
the girls.
Yeah, it gets the girls because it's true. Harder to draw a swoosh. I'll give it to him. A swoosh is hard to draw.
True.
It's not an easy logo. But the real reason we're in This Week in Kicks, the Nike Adapt BB.
Yes.
Today, luckily it was this morning, so we have a lot of fresh news. Nike announced their first ever performance basketball sneaker with auto lacing technology. So I'm just going to read a little blurb off of the Nike news website. If you want to check this out, it's on news.nike.com. The first three paragraphs. Getting it right from a performance shoe is both personal and complicated. Consider basketball. Over the course of a basketball game, the foot can expand almost half a size during play. Mm-hmm. A level of fit that feels comfortable at one point might feel constrictive just 24 minutes later. Because the needs of the foot change at any given time based on the sport, its duration, and on other specific movements, like a slashing cut to the basket, perfect fit, quoted, is a floating target, which makes sense. The effort to refine fit has yielded a number of innovative platforms through Nike's history, Huarache, Flywire, and Flyknit, to name a few. Perhaps none was more critical to advancing custom fit than the 2016 introduction of the Nike HyperAdapt 1.0, which was the 2016 self-lacing running-looking shoe.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be performance, but I don't know anybody who actually used it for performance because it was $700. Yeah. Now, Nike has found its most advanced fit solution to date, Nike Adapt, a platform that creates a truly custom fit by combining an advanced power lacing system, an app, and continually updating firmware featured in the new Nike Adapt BB basketball shoe.
Crazy.
Hit me with the thoughts, boys. Let's see.
It looks dope.
It looks really cool.
It looks really dope. It definitely looks like a ball shoe. It definitely looks like something you can play ball in. Mm-hmm. Nike, I'd love to write a review for you on these. Lawrence and I and Kuya Joel would love to write a review on these. But I feel like how they started to hype it up was really cool. Like that video they dropped.
Teaser video was amazing.
That was dope. Just getting people's reactions on when the auto lacing actually.
That noise.
That's all you can hear.
Yeah.
That's all you heard.
So crazy.
I was in love after hearing that. That
and then like the app. It's an app. It's an app. Yeah, that's crazy. And I'm sure, like, you know, Nike's done their due diligence and done all the testing and ensured that, you know, there's a lot of troubleshooting if there is.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, it's very, very interesting, man.
Yeah.
Like, I like where it's going. I'm excited.
I can't wait, to be honest.
So it's like the Earl, right?
It is, but it's even better because it's adaptive and because it can be connected to your smartphone. The Earl, the HyperAdapt 1.0 was strictly just the button.
The button.
Yeah. So then I think it was just one setting, like you literally on and off kind of thing. This one you can do left, right. Mm-hmm. You can do settings. So you want a different tightness for shoot around and game and end of game and timeout. Yeah. You can actually set it on the app. I was actually looking into it today. And it shows you, like, you can do kind of like when you get into a fancy car and it knows who's sitting there and it adjusts the seat, it adjusts the radio, everything. You click shoot around and it goes and it locks you down how you like it during shoot around. And then you go and you click game mode and it's a little bit tighter probably. Like, so cool.
What cushion are they using it?
Just a basic Cushlon, which I'm assuming they need because it has the like the mechanics, so they probably need something a little bit denser. Yeah. I was wondering why it wasn't React, but it's probably just too soft.
Yeah.
Like you need to protect it. Charging it, you put it on a mat.
Oh, it's you like just a wireless. Put
the pair of shoes on the mat like you would a wireless,
like a wireless
charging charger. For your phone. Yeah.
Sick.
It's flying it upper, like the shroud is flying it. And then underneath it is another kind of knit, but it's a little just softer for comfort.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that they put it through like thousands and thousands of cycling, testing, everything you can think of, just to make sure it would hold up, and they're confident that it will. You guys think this is the future of sneakers or what?
Because
even just that significant price drop from, well, I guess you could say the first Nike Mag was the first one.
Yeah.
And that's thousands.
Yeah.
And then you're talking the HyperAdapt, which was 700. And now you're dropping down to 350. So you sliced it in half.
I think that price range is still going to... I mean, yeah, it definitely can be the future of it. But the price range is still going to push people towards like shoelaces. The Kyries. And, yeah, the shoelaces. It's all like the affordability piece for sure. I mean, you never know, man. With them being able to improve on their previous technology, I mean, only way is up, right? So we'll see. Maybe they can find a cheaper way of doing things, but
there was also a cool quote. I just want to get it from the right person. So it's Michael Donahue. It's Nike's VP of Innovation. He said, "There's an invention in human history that's older than you think. It's older than coins, older than paper, older than the alphabet. In fact, it dates back to 3500 BC, before Stonehenge or the pyramids." What is it? Shoelaces. Think of how many technologies have fallen away in the 5,000 years since shoelaces came on the scene, from VHS tapes, horse-drawn carriages. They've come and gone, and yet shoelaces remain. It remains somehow, despite its imperfections. We've all had laces that come undone for us, forcing a sudden timeout. Or because the foot swells during game, you have to adjust them. Shoelaces, you had a good run, but we think we have finally bettered you.
True.
When you put it like that, it sounds pretty dang cool.
Again, man, it's all about the price point, though.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be spending $350 on no ball shoes.
That's the problem.
You know what I mean?
Like, that's definitely the problem.
I don't know. We'll see.
I'm excited, though.
I still just want to feel it.
That's like, the thing, because I never got to try on the HyperAdapt, which I really wanted to. So just to see how it feels and if it, I don't know.
We'll see. It's very interesting, man. I'm amped. Yeah. Like, it's going to be dope.
And they said that they want to expand the line. So just one final question. I could talk about this all day, I think, because this technology to me, because the Back to the Future is just so cool.
Yeah.
What would you want to see them put it on? Doesn't have to be performance, but what would you want to see the Adapt be put on? Like a laceless auto-lacing tech. Any shoe you can think of.
Anything, bro. Give me that on the Jordan 1. Like, I'm good.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
So, but then it wouldn't have laces. Is the Jordan 1 the same without laces?
Yes.
Okay. What about you, Joel?
I don't know. I'm like, maybe even an SB or something.
Ooh.
That'd be pretty cool.
With but the stuff tongue.
Yeah, with the stuff tongue.
Yeah.
You need the stuff tongue. Yeah, for sure.
They could put the laces, the auto lacing, through the stuff tongue. And then it just... So you feel the cushion on your foot. For me, it's got to be the Jordan 3. I would love to see that. Yeah. Even that an Air Max would be sick. Yeah. Yeah. Air Max would be sick. I can think of endless possibilities, and we can't talk about them all day. So we're going to jump to the next topic. Previously in Kicks, this is the part of the show where we review our latest pickups and recap the latest happenings in our sneaker lives. But I don't think we bought anything last week, did we?
Man. No, man.
Because Christmas trying has to hold us out. A little broke, I think.
A little bit.
Yeah. Just okay. So after that, we haven't thought of a new name yet. I didn't think of a new name. So we're still going to call it EEE. Errors, emissions, and e-messages.
It still works.
And we have two messages this week. The first one comes from the good friend of the show, at Sneaker Life Husband, with a suggestion, which I think we're going to follow through with. Hey guys, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
That's not it. There's more.
Good question.
Currently about to listen to the episode as I cross Canada on my way back to Toronto.
True.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. Just a quick suggestion. Cool. Can you guys post pictures of the shoes on the CGS stories so we know what shoes you guys talked about? Yeah, that would be dope.
True.
Can't wait to tune in tomorrow for the live draw. Mm-hmm. So this was on last Saturday.
Yeah, we can do that.
So I've already saved the pictures of our picks this week, and we will absolutely throw them on the story so that you can see, the listeners can see what we were even talking about. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes we ramble because we're so excited about the shoes.
Sexy. Supple. Not for sure.
If you can't Google supple New Balance, we will show you which one we're talking about.
You'll know.
See. And this one, I'm not sure if it was meant to be a message that they want publicized, so I left it anonymous. If they want us to credit them or anything like that, they can, but I think we saw it in the CGS DM, so I think we know who it's from. But it's from Anon saying, I just used an RMHC, Ronald McDonald House Charity, facility, and I couldn't help think of CGS's commitment to the cause. To me, that was really dope. That's awesome. During our contest, during the time we had people donate, somebody was using the facility that we were donating to.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, indirectly, hopefully, we might have helped them out.
Mm-hmm.
So, to you, thank you for supporting, and hopefully everything's okay with whatever you were at Ronald McDonald House for.
Mm-hmm.
We love you. Thank you. Promos, CGS to 2019 results.
Hey.
We did our live stream on Sunday. Thank you to everybody who tuned in. That was really friggin' fun.
Yeah,
the prizes were announced and picked, and they will be going out this week. We all have 40-hour week full-time jobs, so we couldn't do it the same night or the day after, but they will be out this week. You will all get tracking, and we expect a bunch of pictures from you on Instagram for all the nice free stuff you guys want.
Tag us so we can repost that.
Please, yes. We would love that, actually. Now, down to my first ever discussion topics ever. Hope y'all are ready for this.
Here we go.
First, the 10-year challenge. So the 10-year challenge has been going viral on social media right now. Mm. I know both of you guys have done it. Joel did it today, and those were some great pictures, by the way.
Yeah.
Joel, Alvin, I saw you guys did it when you were at your parents'
house.
That
was house. Lace.
That was
lace.
Yeah, your sister.
Yeah.
But everyone's
10-year. That was like a 20-year challenge.
I don't even know if that was intentional part of the challenge or not, but I definitely saw some old pictures of Alvin that I'm happy are in my life now. So everyone's been posting a throwback picture of them from 10 years ago and comparing it to them in 2019. First of all, it's crazy to think that 2009 was a decade ago. I thought it would be fun to look back at a decade ago at the state of the sneaker community, specifically in Canada, and see how far we've come. So just to start it off and get you guys in the right mindset as to where we were in 2009, the top releases from 2009 in no specific order.
Yeah.
Can you guys think of any? Think of
Space
one.
Space Jam.
Okay, yep.
Yeah, Space Jam.
What about you?
09?
09.
I have a list of like five here, which I think were good.
Air Force One, white on white, Lowe's. 09.
So we had the Toro Bravo Jordan 5 pack.
Oh, yeah.
Heavy hitter.
Yeah.
That's sad, though. Mm-hmm. That was still available on 50 when we were working.
Yes, it was.
And a lot of people split didn't buy it.
Yep.
No, me neither. You know what I bought instead? I bought the Ones pack.
Those were, I think, were the year before, and they sat forever.
Yeah, loved it. Thank you.
Thank you to everybody in 2009 and 2008 that didn't buy all the cool
stuff. They were on sale and on sale and on 50.
Yeah.
So.
For sure.
Those are good times, man. This is already a good topic to talk about 2009. Jordan 3 True Blue, but the international release.
Remember that.
Do you guys
remember? Because no one else got it. It was Canada and Europe.
So the international release program was something that they clearly don't have anymore.
No.
Mm-hmm. It was Europe and Asia only releases, and for some reason we were lumped in with Europe and Asia. So in 2009, the Jordan 3 True Blue came back out for the first time, I want to say, since 2001. Mm. And it didn't come out in the States, which was kind of a big deal.
Yeah, they hated us for it.
Yeah, so a lot of heads in the States were coming up to Canada from Buffalo or Detroit to pick up a pair of True Blues because everyone wanted them.
Yeah.
And that's part of what sparked the retro a couple of years later. I think it was 2010 they came back out.
Yeah,
it was like the year after. And we still got them. We got them twice.
We got them again. Shout out to Canada. So I still want a pair of 2009 just because of that story. I think it's really funny how like it's just nuts to me.
It was dope, man. That stuff even used to happen. I was like, and by that around that time, it still wasn't that big. Like,
not at all.
No. People were buying them, but it wasn't like a big lineup not thing. Like, it wasn't a pre-order thing for the threes either. Like, it wasn't even crazy.
So, also in 2009, Nike Dunk SB Low Blue Lobster.
Was that 2009?
2009 for Blue Lobsters. Damn. I thought it was, forever ago. Yeah. But it was forever ago. It was 10 years ago.
Holy.
The second best shoe to release that year, the Space Jam Jordan 11. I didn't even realize this until I looked it up. Nike Air Yeezy 1.
That was 2009?
2009. All three colors.
Shoot.
It
was.
Which is crazy.
That was a crazy
a decade ago.
That lineup at Livestock.
Yep. And they did it also at the, I think, the Foot Locker on Yonge Street before where it's at, the Champs is now. They did a raffle kind of lottery system there, like a live lottery system
rigged.
Oh, for sure. It's Foot Locker. Shout out to Foot Locker, though. So also that year, Toronto had not yet ever had an official sneaker convention.
No, not yet.
The first one?
Probably 2012, 2011.
I want to say 2011. Yeah, the T-Dot Loves Kicks one. That one
probably 2011, 2012.
The one that we attended in the half room of the Great Hall or whatever it was. Yeah.
99 Sudbury, right?
99 Sudbury, that's what it was. So just to look at how far we've come in 10 years, what are you guys' thoughts like on, first of all, hype? Like just the overall... The overall hype in general, like how far has it come? Especially because you worked at Foot Locker at that time. Like, just imagine working at Foot Locker now compared to 10 years ago.
We had pre-orders still, though. But, like, it was... Even with the pre-orders, it was... Like, I remember that year the Space Jams released, like, in the summertime.
That pre-order, right?
It was in a December...
Yeah. The actual shoe?
Mm-hmm.
No, the shoe was definitely Christmas release, for sure.
Yeah, it was all...
But the pre-order was definitely...
Oh, yeah, you know what? Because I remember... Yeah, yeah, you're right. Because I remember being in a suit having to go to pre-order stuff because I was going to a wedding. and it was like after the mass, but like, you know, that time in between where you have so much time to chill? Yeah.
And you just bought shoes.
Went to Square One, pre-ordered like...
Pre-ordered,
a few... No, probably two pairs, Space Jams. And it felt good just being able to walk them out. But yeah, man, like it wasn't even that crazy. It was still chill. Like, the only shoe that had hype was maybe the 11.
But even still, it was a pre-order.
Yeah.
Can you guys imagine having pre-orders now, 10 years later?
Nah.
Like,
it's too easy.
The thing that I always tell people, because they say, oh, I miss pre-orders, I miss that. But, like, the it's not even just the fact that we had pre-orders. It was that there was no hype attached to the releases in the first place.
No, there wasn't.
Like, if you had it now, just the same way there's lineups for raffle tickets, there would be lineups for pre-orders. Yeah. So people would be camped out 3 days before to pre-order the shoe that comes out 3 days later. Like, it would be the same thing, just at a different time, basically.
Yeah.
Joel, how about this one for you? The community, because you were collecting... Even before me and even before Alvin, like I just got into the game in 2008, so I was fresh in 2009. But even in 2009, there was no community, not a lot at least, compared to now. Like, how far has it come since 2009?
It's huge. It's huge now. Like, everybody, mom, pops, everybody's a sneakerhead now.
Mm-hmm.
Right back then, we just had like a selected few.
Mm.
And, you know, whoever neck we broke, then that's, you know, they knew what was up.
Yeah.
Right? So. Now it's like crazy now. It's just crazy now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Kaya.
Yeah, that's Kaya. Say hi, Kaya. Remember that group we had? What was that group chat? Was it BBM?
BBM.
Yeah, it was
Soul Seekers.
Soul Seekers.
Was that in 09? No.
It was probably even later than that.
Probably like 2010, yeah. 2011.
This is like 2009 is a long time ago in the sneaker world.
Damn, son.
BBM. Holy
yep. Yeah. Man. What about just the global perspective on sneakers? It kind of goes into what Joel was saying about like mom and dad even know what's up with like Yeezys or like Off-White and stuff. Like,
well, everyone's wearing them now.
Yeah. In the 10 years, like it's gone from, it's like you said, an underground thing to... It's a commonplace thing. Like, everybody knows about shoes. Everyone knows what a Yeezy is. You have mom and dad and grandpa and grandma buying fake Yeezys.
Yeah.
Like, it's just absolutely insane to me how, like, normalized it's been coming from such an underground place. Mm. And in the 10 years, what about brand rep and releases?
Well, there weren't any brand ambassadors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't have influencing.
None.
You know what I mean? Like... You didn't have none of that.
It was literally celebrities.
It was like celebrities like rocking everything.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't Kanye, it was like Cudi. Or like,
you
know what I mean? Like, it wasn't anything like right now where it's like you can give a shoe to like an influencer and it's just like the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Hypebeast was around, but it wasn't.
Nah, not even close.
It wasn't even big, man. Yeah. Like, we knew about Hypebeast.com, but it was just like Hypebeasts were literally Hypebeasts. Like, it wasn't even a good thing for you to be a Hypebeast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a,
you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, you get knocked on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and oh, yeah.
Even the. Even, like, the releases, like I mentioned, the True Blue 3 international release, like, that's one of the last international releases I can think of. But in between 2009 and this year, there's been so many releases, had been so many releases that we would get snubbed on, that we would even get. Like, there's still stuff like the Dornbacher collection where we won't get it.
Yeah.
Like, it won't even come here. We don't have to question it.
Yeah.
But it's gotten so much better in Canada and in Toronto specifically. Oh, yeah. I guess I'm not going to say Canada because I know a lot of other cities get shit on for releases.
I know Montreal fam gets shit on.
Any, yeah. I think almost any other city. Yeah, except for Toronto. We're only speaking from experience in Toronto, of course. But, like, just... Like, to think how far we've come, like, there would, it would just be an assumption. Like, 5 years ago, I'd be like, yeah, it's probably not coming to Canada.
Yeah, we're not getting a Jordan.
Yeah, we're not, no, we're not getting anything. We're not going to get that. We're probably not going to get it. It's going to be only on Nike.com. Yeah. We're going to have to ship it to a P.O. box. Like, 10 years ago, there wasn't even Nike.ca.
Yeah.
No, there wasn't.
We couldn't even get Nike ID. No, none IDs. Of that. Yeah. So it's crazy to think how far we've come in 10 years.
Yeah.
And then I also wanted to just quickly say, where do you think it's going to be in 10 years? So in 2029... When we're all old and gray, will there still be hype? Will it be the same? Like, will there still be as many people in this game in 10 years as there is right now? Because I think it's, well, it's definitely at its pinnacle, at its peak right now.
It's at its peak right now.
Is that peak still going up? Or is it going to plateau?
I feel like it's going to plateau.
Or is it going to drop?
It's probably going to plateau as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, like all the kids now, they're, I don't know if they're going to pass it on to their kids kind of thing. Because I know with Jomar right now, he's, him and his... His basketball boys right now, like, I look behind me, he's got, like, a stack behind me. But, like, he knows what's going on, like, in the sneaker game. He knows, you know, what's That's hype awesome. And all that stuff, right?
That's very
And
cool.
he's just picking up off of me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, are there other kids out there that are educated like that as well?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, right? So
That's very true.
Yeah.
Plateau, I think it'll plateau.
Do you think it'll be the same brands that are on top? Do you see brands dipping? Do you see other brands emerging? Assuming, we'll assume it's the same core 5 to 10 brands that we already talk about. I'm not going to say brand new like brands, but do you think Nike will still be on top? Or do you think Adidas is coming back up? Or do you think New Balance will make a resurgence? Or do you
I
think
don't know, man.
That A6 and Saucony? Yeah. Because if you look at in Europe, they're definitely way ahead of us in terms of sneaker culture and community and all that kind of stuff.
Mm.
Over there, it's all runners.
Yeah,
Saucony, New Balance, Asics are massive over there, and Jordan's. Honestly, people they don't really care. Yeah. So, do you think that we're just behind? Because if you go off the European model, that means in 5 years we might be all wearing. Well, not that we're not already relatively diverse already. We might be all in Asics and New Balance. And do you see that happening over here? I know it's kind of hard to see because everyone over here is very single lane minded. But what do you guys think?
I don't know,
man. It's been Jordan's for years.
Yeah. And I think with, like, sports and stuff, that plays, like, a major factor.
Mm, yeah, we're into, like, the football and the basketball
North America
and they're into like football.
I mean, Kawhi might change a thing because he's all up in the New Balance right now.
New Balance is making that
he's gonna have right now. He's gonna have me buy a New Balance.
He's making it look good.
Yeah, yeah, man.
But I mean, you definitely see an increase in people interested in runners.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if it's enough to boost, you know, the brands that should be up there.
Yeah.
In terms of that. You know what I mean? Like, New Balance should be up there just because of, like, the sheer quality that they put into their product.
1,000%.
But, I don't know, man. Like, it's tough. I feel like we'll still be more of a basketball-centric community in Canada in terms of sneakers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. With the newer heads, it's like, I don't really... Unless you have someone very influential within, you know, celebrity status that... out of nowhere, just be like, oh, yo, New Balance is the shit. Or like A6 is the shit. Like, I don't think it'll change too much.
No, you still see the same hierarchy.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I see brands coming up, like, in terms of performance. Mm-hmm. Under Armour would probably be up there for sure. Yeah. Just because, I mean, if you look into the States, like, they're definitely number one in, you know, not all the sports, but a lot of them.
Yeah.
So they're definitely climbing up in terms of other sports. So it's they'll definitely be up there, but I don't know if I see anything else changing too much. I mean, it's been 10 years, and like
nothing much has changed.
Nothing's really changed. Like Air Max has come
a little. Yeah, I was gonna say because Air Max, if you look 10 years ago, maybe less, a little bit less, but like Nike basketball was huge.
Yeah,
and like the early teens.
Yeah, depends on the style,
the fashion trends,
with whatever the Stees is, if they still even use Stees out there
in 10 years is gonna be
you know what I mean, like it's drip now.
Consider this a time capsule. We're gonna listen to this in 10 years and see if we were right.
Yo, what the hell was Alvin saying? Stees. That was like 5 years ago. That was 2009.
Bro, that's so 2009, bro.
So 2009.
What about influencers? You think they're still gonna be around?
I feel like they're dying, man.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, in terms of influencers in terms of like other products, I feel like sneaker influencers will always be there.
Yeah,
just because there's always going to be those individuals who you're going to want their collection,
and they wear it the best,
and they wear it the best
first.
Yeah. Like, real talk, I've been following Skate the Great from Soul Collector, from Nike Talk, from whatever forum he was on. I've been following his like "What Did You Wear Today" posts.
Yeah,
and it's never changed, and I've always. Yeah. Any dunk or any shoe he's worn, I'm like, yo, I never look good like that when I rock him with my jeans. Like, what the hell, bro?
Is it the angles?
gotta hit the angles.
I think it's the denims, bro. Like, yo, his denim game is always on point for some reason.
Stacked
like,
proper.
Yeah, and it's like enough so that it doesn't cover the shoe at all.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think.
And it's been like that.
I'm not going to give it this, but I think he's a little bit shorter.
He is. He's mad short.
So denim
he's
stacks like 5'3". Differently on shorter
dudes. He's like 5'2", like 5 foot. Like he's a shorter man.
He got shorter 5'3", 5'2", 5 foot. Skate, if you're listening to this,
let us know. Come on the pod, bro. Come on the pod.
Friend of the show.
Reach. Come on out here. No, we'll come to Cali, actually. It's fine.
Yeah,
we'll be
there. True.
Road trip. You think the media coverage is going to remain? You think it's going to stay super mainstream like it is now? Or you think it's going to go back to an underground thing?
It's out there, man.
Like,
yeah, it's out there. Because like with the States, like their sneaker culture was way advanced, like way before ours.
But even just reading that article, the top releases, I think it was top 30 releases from 2009. Like that article was ugly. And it was on Sneaker News.
Yeah.
So it's come a long way for sure.
Yeah.
I think, like you said, as long as there's money in it, and even not even just talking like the big sneaker media, but just regular mainstream media, like
it'll still be
people line up for a shoe. You have CP24 out there. Like they know that there's people interested in hearing about the shoe game and why these crazy kids are lining up outside the Jordan store on Yonge Street.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's made it from 2009. Like I've seen more of a sneaker presence in movies, TV shows.
Even in sports, man.
Like everything.
Everything. Yeah.
Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, you see more of a collaboration nowadays. Whereas before, it was just like, nah. Yeah. Like, it wasn't, like, you wouldn't see it on a TV show at all.
No.
Other than, like, people just wearing it because it's the newest shoe. Like, you're not going to see anyone with, like.
Yeah, like, you would see Will Smith wearing it in Fresh Prince, but that's just because
it was, like,
a month
the
ago.
Fives were the fives, bro.
It
like,
came out a month ago.
You know
what
I mean? But. Like, other than that, like, that's the only time you saw it. And even when I was watching them back in the day, like, I never knew what the fuck those were. I just thought they were dope. I just thought they were dope because it was Will Smith, right?
Yeah. But, now you're taking in that content every day.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's way different.
Yeah.
And the final question, the most important question, will we still be in the game in 10 years?
Yes.
Yes.
And in what capacity will we still be in the game?
The
in
same 10 years? Thing right same now. Capacity?
We're still like, going to be in Joel's basement how, recording.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I don't know. Okay, maybe not. We might have like a better spot for recording things with a door that's soundproof. So you'll hear, so you'll hear Kaya and Jomar playing upstairs. I feel like I'll still be. I've been trying to quit for 10 years now.
Yeah, it's not gonna happen, bro.
You know what I mean? Like, every time I'm like, KO this year, I'm good. Like, I'm not copying anything. Like, I'm straight. A Grail will pop up.
Mm-hmm.
Nike will bring out, like, something stupid.
Something dumb.
New Balance will bring out something stupid. Like, Three Stripes will bring out something stupid. Like, I need to buy that.
Yeah.
But I freaking wanted it. Did I buy it? Probably. Mm.
That's the thing, man. Like, as you get older, I mean, as I'm getting older, at least, if I look back to 2009, I was part-time at Foot Locker and in high school. So all these shoes, like these five shoes that I listed, I didn't have no fucking money for this shit. So as I get older, I'm getting the money for this shit.
Yeah.
So it's just being more and more accessible.
Just a vicious cycle.
Yeah, exactly. And then when they bring it back, it's like, yo, in 2009, I wanted that shit so bad and I couldn't get it.
Because what was our excuse before? Like, oh yeah, I'm buying shoes now because my parents couldn't afford it when I was young.
Yeah.
Now it's like, yo, I couldn't afford it when I was working, I can afford it, so I'm going to cop that, dog. Like,
yeah. And then when you're older and you have kids, it's, yo, honestly, I'm going to buy for my kid. I have to match them, so
so it's a real, like, it's a cycle.
Yeah.
It's
a cycle, yo.
We'll see what Kaya does, though. We'll see, man. She wearing some boots right now. She never wants to not.
She got some kicks last year, though. So I mean,
like last year, as in like a month ago.
Yeah, for Christmas even. Yeah. That was a fun conversation. I like that little blast
good.
In the past.
Yeah, I really like that.
So the next little mini, not so mini topic that I have was actually meant to be like an article series I was going to write, but I couldn't find a way to make it interesting enough in words. So I wanted to film it, but it was a lot of work and I wanted to do like pictures, but I was like, I don't know if I want people taking pictures of me doing this. So this one is called Sneakerheading for Dummies. So because we've been in the game for so long, me and Alvin have worked in sneaker retail for way too long. Joel has dealt with ignorant kids for way too long. I wanted to do kind of like a starter kit or like literally like for dummies. Mm-hmm. Some of the main things to do or things to know how to do in the sneaker community. So I have two for each of us and we'll kind of just go around. And I literally want like step by step, every detail you can think of. You're talking to an alien from another planet who has no clue how to do this. And you need to explain to them how to do it. Because sometimes when I see these Facebook groups, it seems like I'm talking to kids who are aliens from another planet and they have no clue which way is up. So first, lucky you, Joel.
Oh, man.
You get to start, and I want you to explain shipping and receiving sneakers for dummies.
Shipping and receiving sneakers.
You just sold a pair of sneakers.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do? How do you do it? Et cetera.
So I just sold... I just sold it. I just sold a pair of sneakers to Jimmy. Jimmy just bought a pair of sneakers off of me.
Yeah.
So I'm sending out.
You're shipping them out.
I'm shipping them out. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask for payment. And he's going to have to send me payment for shipping as well.
Yeah.
Which is going to cover the box of shoes that I'm going to send out. And so, yeah, he's going to send
Hold on, we're just going to raise this up because this is important information.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There we go. Okay, so, yeah.
Oh, yeah. There he is.
Hear me now. All right. So what's going to happen is that he's going
to... Pause, sorry. How do you prefer to receive payment and what's your... Like, if you're shipping a pair of shoes, how do they pay you?
Through EMT.
You prefer email transfer?
Email transfer, yeah.
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 PayPal?
Do you have PayPal?
I don't have PayPal, so that's probably going to have to go to one of you guys.
Do you use PayPal, Alvin? Just before we move on.
I have an account. I haven't used it in time, though.
Mm-hmm. So for all those who are wondering about PayPal, really quickly, PayPal can be a blessing and a curse.
Oh.
So if you use gift payments, which is essentially what you would use if I was sending Joel $10 because I owed him $10, I would send it as a gift, which is family and friends.
Mm-hmm.
There's no fees, and you can never get your money back.
Yeah, you can't dispute it.
So if somebody, if somebody doesn't send you the shoe or something's wrong with it, you cannot dispute it because it was quote-unquote family and friends. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Similar to EMT. So if you're EMTing somebody or PayPal gifting somebody, you better trust them like it's your friggin' brother.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or know where they live.
Yeah. Invoice, which is through PayPal, costs you 4%, so you can choose to charge that 4% to the buyer, or you can eat it yourself. But because it is an invoice, it covers you if the shoe is fake, if it doesn't get sent to you,
if it's like insurance.
If it's not as described, it's like insurance, and you can claim it and you can get your money back, and sometimes you can even keep the shoe and get your money back depending on the situation. But yeah, that's just a little quick tidbit. Continue, Joel. Sorry.
Okay, so what I would do though is I would sell locally. So I would either, none of this, you know, whatever it is, but I would sell locally and it would be through EMT and I would meet up with that person and exchange.
Okay, so I was going to give Alvin meetups, but you can finish
meetups. Oh, shoot. No, it's sorry, okay. Man.
You can finish meetups. Where do you meet up with people?
I meet up with people usually, for me, it's anywhere within where I live. So like in Mississauga. Or I'm familiar with Kipling Station. And if it's Kipling Station, it's got to be at the passenger drop-off pickup area. So they're going to have to, you know, either tap or whatever. They're going to have to come outside and meet me outside. And then we'll just do the exchange there.
So public places.
Obviously.
Do you bring somebody with you in case? Or you're a big dude and you're just, you know,
usually. But you know what? It's smart to have somebody with you. It's really smart to have somebody with you.
So for meetups, say someone's buying something from you, we'll do it both ways. If someone's buying something from you and they're like, hey, I'm down, I'll give you your buy it now price, I'll give you the $180 for your pair of shoes,
right,
let's meet up. What is your next step? Do you say I'll meet you in XYZ, or do you say where do you live, we'll meet in the middle, or do you
depends. If it's a homie and I know where they live, and I'll be like, yo, let's reach in the middle. Or if someone offered me like a low, so if like I'm posting a shoe for $220 and you're gonna offer me $180, you're coming to me. I'm not going anywhere near you. I'm losing $40.
Okay.
You're coming to me. But like I usually try to, like if you're paying like full out like the asking price, I'll try to come in the middle just for convenience. Like, I don't know, man. I worked at customer service, so it's just like.
Very true.
Soft, you know what I
think
I mean?
I'm like, the same way.
I'm mobile, right?
If they're giving me all the money I asked for, I have no problem spending the time to drive it to them.
Yeah.
But if they're going to lowball me and I'll say, okay, that $20 that you're taking off is my gas.
Come to Milton.
So, yeah. That's what it is, though. If you're the buyer, you've got to be expecting to drive or commute and meet up with the seller.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like if you're hungry, you're not going to have the food come to you.
That's the prime example.
You're going to get food, bro.
You're going to go get the groceries or whatever, right?
That's the prime example. So Foot Locker's never going to come to you.
Yeah, man.
Not yet.
They ain't hungry for your business.
They ain't not hungry.
Exactly.
Especially if you're selling a shoe for a good deal. Like, there's other people who are willing to come to pick it up.
Yeah, man.
So just to finish off shipping, like you've shipped shoes before, right, Alvin? Man. So how do you go about it? Because a lot of people are actually very confused about, I don't know if the next generation is just doesn't do post at all. Like Canada Post is foreign to them, but they don't even understand like how do they go to the post office, what do they have to do. So
you can
let's get a little explanation from you.
You can even get an estimate as to how much that shipping would cost online, like just do some research.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. But
you're gonna have to measure the box.
Measure the box. Yeah, measure the box. Find out all the numbers you need to find out. But you can get that estimate online. Give that specific amount to the person you're selling to.
So you charge for shipping generally.
Yeah, always charge for, unless you know it's a shoe you don't really care about and you just want to get rid of it. Then if you say $150 ship, then it's $150 ship. Take it out of my hands.
Yeah.
But if the person, so for example, if I put a shoe up for $150 and they ask me to ship it, they're paying for shipping. Again, unless it's like a homie, then fuck, I don't care. I'm going to hook you up. It's just whatever. And then how you would do it is you pack it up, double box it.
Double box it.
Which means putting it in a cardboard box.
A box in a
not
box.
Not just taping up the shoebox.
Yeah. Like, don't tape up the shoebox. Don't wrap it in paper and then tape that up. Like, I don't want a gift. I want it secured. So box in a box. Tape it nice. Make sure your writing is legible. Even if it's not, though, it's okay. Because if you go to Canada Post, they print a sticker for you.
Yeah, exactly.
So go to the Canada Post, talk to the ladies, you know, sweet them up a little bit. Maybe they'll give you a discount next time. and then, that's it, man. And then you usually get a tracking number so long as you, like, for any big package like that, you get a tracking number. You can either choose to get it insured or not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think it's free insurance up to like $100.
Yeah. But anything more than that, I think you have to pay a little bit.
It's like $2 per 100 after that or something like that.
Yeah, but that's soft. I would get insurance.
Yeah.
Just to be safe. And then, yeah, that's it, man. And I would, as a seller, I would keep track of it myself just so that I know
that it actually arrived.
Arrived to them. And if they try to tell me, and I provide them with like the tracking number for sure. Yeah.
So the tracking will be on your receipt for all those wondering. Like, it's there's usually, if it's Canada Post, there's a barcode and it's the lady will circle the tracking number.
They'll tell you.
And as as a receiver, please just follow the tracking. It's pretty basic. Don't have to like 20 minutes later being like, where's my package? Like, there's a tracking number, so you will know.
Be patient too. Canada Post is on strike sometimes. You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah, that was rough in December, man. I was so scared to buy anything online in December for Christmas. For real. So I'm going to take lineups for dummies.
Do it. Yeah, you're an expert.
Yeah, man.
I don't like being called an expert. but basically, I have done it a couple times, and I think the best way to do it is definitely, hopefully, you can go with a friend.
Yeah.
Because the couple, actually, maybe just one time, I've gone by myself. It's not been the best night, not even for anything scary. It's just boring, to be honest.
Boring.
Bring a chair.
Mm-hmm.
Bring, if it's at night and if it's not the summer, basically bring a blanket, bring snacks, bring water, bring an extra charger. Be wary of where you are. Like, don't bring your fucking Nintendo Switch or a whole Xbox or some shit. I don't know what these kids do. And you're on like Spadina lining up at livestock. Like, that's not the nicest area. Maybe don't have an Xbox or a Nintendo Switch in the middle of the street. Definitely, I think, park nearby, so if you do want to go take a break in your car, you can go run to your car, warm up or whatever. I think the main thing that I took away from lineups is to make friends in line. Just because, like, especially the people before you or after you, one, so they can vouch for you, and two, I guess, so that the night goes long or quicker because you just made some new friends, and three, like, if you do need to leave, like, you have someone who can say you were there. Like, if you're like, yo, I just need to go run to McDonald's. Like, I'll be back in 10 minutes. Usually people are completely fine with it.
I'll scoop you some nuggets.
Like, it can be a really fun experience for everybody. It's just when people start to show up and cause shit. But if you are there,
don't
for,
be that guy.
If you're there for most of the night and you don't leave at all, you're very unlikely to have any problems. It's when people start leaving for an hour to go snap in their car and they come back and there's 10 people in front of them and then an argument ensues because someone cut, someone did this, someone did that. So definitely prepare to be outside for the night for as long as you're trying to line up for. Like, I hear people complaining like, oh my god, like, the store is making me line up for 20 hours. Like, no, they're not making you line up at all. You're choosing it. So if you're choosing that, then like, do it, commit to it, kind of thing. This one's going to go to the OG of joggers, Joel. I think he's the first one I ever saw wear cuff joggers. I want to hear pants for dummies.
Pants for dummies. What do I talk about pants?
Like, if you're wearing, let's say you're wearing SBs, what kind of pants are you wearing?
SBs? It's
Dunk Lows.
Normally, like, you know, we're all rocking like the crew neck socks or crew socks.
Crew socks, yeah.
We're all rocking the crew socks, so it's like we either like tuck them in our pants or whatever, we hike them up.
Oh, so you do the hiked up,
yeah,
like the baseball player look,
pretty
almost.
Much. Yep. Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
the same way.
So it's like, you know, you can rock them with that. Joggers are always nice. You can hike those up too.
Yeah,
and I don't know.
Do you do jeans?
I do jeans, yeah.
Do you cuff them? Do you let them sit on the shoe?
I haven't done jeans in a long time, to be honest.
Yeah, now that they have joggers and all these fancy pants, I don't really
but
wear jeans.
But if I were to, it would probably be, I don't know. Like, now I see them just, like, rolled up now.
Yeah.
Right? Like, khakis, you just roll them up.
Exactly,
now.
Yeah. A couple not, big cuffs,
yeah,
and
not
you're
even,
good.
Not even, like, a pin roll or anything. It's just rolled right up.
So you are of the team, pant does not touch shoe?
Yes, I am team pant does not touch you.
Alvin, you're a pin roll guy, right?
I was. I'm more of just roll them up. No more pin rolls.
Just like a loose, like nice, clean, floating cuff.
Yeah. That, or if it's like a regular pair of pants, that I'm not rolling up at the time, it has to be hella tapered.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that if it is touching the shoe, it doesn't engulf it.
It just sits there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The same thing with denims. Like, if I'm rocking denims, mm-hmm. if I don't roll them up, they have to be really, really tapered for me to continue to wear them. Mm-hmm. Or you could just cop, like, quality stuff and they have the drawstring on the bottom.
Is that your plug?
No, I wish.
I do like the drawstring option.
Like their cargo? Because
you can stop it at the shoe or you can hike it up like the baseball thing we were talking about. A lot of options.
And I love right now, same thing with you guys. Like, I love the baseball look. You know what I mean? Like, it's just...
To show goes. The entire sock, like
cool. And the entire shoe, like you know what I mean. It covers nothing.
The Chris Chu, definitely the Chris Chu. Shout out to Montreal.
The freaky shout first.
Out.
The freaky first. Oh, there
you go. 2009. There you go.
2009. Yeah.
Well, it was probably before that, right?
But oh yeah, definitely. You know? I think he's like Soul Collector Forum days with that name.
Yeah,
man.
Okay, so back to Alvin. This one's probably people are going to record this for future use. So give them some good advice. Getting a job in sneakers for dummies. You were a store manager. So if I were to walk in, little Jimmy, one who didn't know how to ship a shoe, comes in and wants a, like, what are you looking for someone to get a job at your store in sneakers?
You have to be a shorty still. No, I'm joking. You got to be a little cutie. Like, be presentable. Don't come in with, like... I've had people come in with, you know, like a raggedy shirt and denim.
Oh, man.
And it just, I don't know, be presentable, be confident. You know what I mean? Like, you have to be able to sell. I don't even know who's running stores. Actually, I do know a few. they'll probably ask for the same thing. But be confident. What else, man? Like, if you have a nice pair of sneakers, definitely rock them. I mean, for me, it wasn't a must. I would prefer someone who just came in confident and, like, you know, presented themselves as someone who could sell something in my store.
They don't necessarily have to present themselves immediately.
You don't have to be a sneakerhead.
Sneaker god who knows everything. Like, it's mostly...
I prefer someone who isn't.
Oh, yeah?
Because a sneakerhead is going to act like they know everything when they don't.
That's
you know what I mean?
True.
Yeah.
Again, it's not every sneakerhead, but depending on the sneakerhead.
Mm-hmm. There is like, definitely the tendency, though, correct?
Yeah, like, you know what I mean? And then, like, every shoe that comes out is like, oh, yeah, soft. Like, I know that. No, you don't. Shut the fuck up. I don't know. Just that's what I looked for anyway when I was a store manager back in the day. Just, you know, someone who was personable, confident. Presented themselves properly, wasn't a gangster. Like, I don't care if that's what you are in person, because that's what we are. Like, but like you just there's professionalism that you have to bring to the store. You know what I mean? And if you can't act like that, you have to pick and choose who you act a certain way with.
Absolutely,
especially in retail.
Yeah,
you're not gonna walk up to a grandmother and be like, "Yo, Wagwan, miss, like, what can I get you?" You know what I mean? Like, it's gotta be like, "Hi, ma'am, how you doing?"
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, just be smart with it. Bring your resume. Actually, don't bring your resume. No. Save some paper. No, I don't think.
Oh,
even,
true.
Even when I was at Starbucks, like, I think it was
it's
like,
just
nah,
online.
Just online now.
Online.
But even when you apply online, if you want a job, ask for the store manager and just talk to him.
Throw it in there for sure.
Yeah, that's it.
And I definitely agree. Like, I think a lot of people are under the impression that if you apply at a sneaker store, you should dress like you're a customer of that store on a Monday morning.
If
like
you're trying
just,
to get a job,
you walk in with like the saggy pants and like the like no, like that's not the look to apply for the job.
Rock like a button up or something.
Yeah, like a nice button up, a nice pair of denim, a nice pair of shoes. Like, it doesn't have to be a dress shoe, obviously. Like, but I think a lot of people just think it's a casual thing, and they have to if they like shoes. Like, if you were to ask, because I work in sneaker retail too, it's like, hey, like, why do you want to work here? Oh, I like shoes. Okay, cool.
So
like
every other your human, grandmother.
Every other human on the planet also likes shoes because we all wear them every day. Mm. That's not the correct answer. It definitely should be brought up at some point in the hiring process. Yeah. I think it's a good thing to throw in there.
Yeah.
But that's not going to make them be like, oh shit, finally we found somebody who likes shoes. We keep getting all these other idiots who just want to work here because it's a good company. Yeah. Damn.
Mm. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I mean, I have been impressed with, you know, people come in rocking nice sneakers.
Yeah, it definitely
doesn't
hurt.
Did I hire them?
Yeah.
Not necessarily. You know what I mean? So, I get it.
Absolutely doesn't hurt. So, this one we're all going to share, because I think this one's super fun, and we all have our own little style. This one's On Foot Instagram Sneaker Shots for Dummies. Like, does anyone else ever get asked, how'd you take that? Do you have a personal photographer? Like, I get asked that a lot. Like, did someone take that picture for you? And I'm like, nah, I just take my own picture.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how you do it, secrets unveiled. Bend down.
Yeah.
Hold your phone upside down.
So you can see it.
So you can see it. Yeah. And then click the button and then it'll look. You'll take some practice, but that's it.
Yeah.
Yep.
For me, like, I'm super like OCD about it. So I make sure there's nothing in the background. Mm-hmm. Like, if you look through my feed, all my backgrounds are like brick walls or like empty parking lots or like something very plain. Mm-hmm. But that's just because, like, back when I didn't care, I would take a picture and it would be like a Zellers sign in the background. And then all the comments just say, shout out to Zellers, shout out to Zellers. And I just, I don't know why, but I hated that shit. Like, don't look in Zellers, look at my shoes. So definitely nothing in the background. Make sure the laces are crisp. Make sure your pants, like especially the baseball thing, make sure they're pulled up properly. Make sure that Nike.
They're even. Make sure they're even.
Make sure that, that Nike logo on the high socks is shown properly. Like, just like how a lot of people take selfies and there's a whole camera roll full of pictures. That's me when I take shoe pictures.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Same.
Alvin, you use like a DSLR, right?
Yeah.
For a lot of years now. So you've like upgraded from the whole upside down iPhone thing.
Yeah.
So how do you do that?
Oh, man.
Is it a process?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. So there are apps, but the Nikon one's too slow. And I do have a Nikon. So what I used to do was, I think Calby did this too. No, maybe not. But I did this. Anyway, so I would put something on the ground where I would be stepping to focus the camera.
Yep.
Then I would put the timer on.
Mm-hmm.
Press the button.
Yeah.
And then run. Pick up the, like, it was essentially my marker, wherever,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
It could have like been another marker. Shoe.
Yeah.
It could have been anything else.
So your camera lens is in focus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I would start the timer thing, run, pick up the thing, put my foot there, and then that's how some of my pictures would take.
Mm-hmm.
Now I got smarter though. I found an infrared remote.
Oh,
so like you could just press it and then it'll focus for you.
Damn.
And then it'll take the picture.
Oh, damn.
Sick. Which is pretty lit. Definitely made a lot of my shots so much easier. And then another thing that I did, well, I didn't really do, but it was offered to me. But Chris gave me some pointers on how to take good pictures.
Yeah.
And I just anytime he gives me like a pointer, I try to
write that shit down.
Try to perfect that. And then usually when I do, he'll notice and he'll be like, okay, you're ready for it. He's like the Yoda right now.
He is, man.
Yeah. Mr. Miyagi.
He's like, yeah, now you're ready for the next one. I'm like, new lesson. And
you've
then like
unlocked
man,
a new achievement.
Yeah, it's grass so dope. Hopper. Like, I feel so good when he messages me. But it's just like, yeah, man, like if you have friends who you look up to their photos, just ask them, like, oh my god, how'd you take it?
Yeah.
And if
yeah.
they're nice enough, like Chris, you know, they'll definitely help you out, give you some pointers and let you improve,
yeah, this
right?
community but, is very, very helping now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
now.
Yeah, now. Yeah. 2009, not so much.
No. Yeah.
How about you, Joel? How do you take these classic curb Joe duty or steps?
That's what I do, man. Like, I look for the right curb. And it's usually the one outside in front of my house. But yeah, like my shots are a lot of curb shots. The toes pointed down, you know, toes pointed up, like, you know, all these kind of different poses, man.
Hit them angles.
Get them angles, man. And it's just like you, I just bend down. I just make sure, like with me, I got that OCD where I got to make sure my lens is clean.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter if it's I'm taking a picture or if my wife Marianne's taking a picture.
Also, she does some.
She does a lot of my shots too. Yeah. Yeah. Because
they can get the angles properly.
Yeah. And especially on the iPhone when you can get that portrait mode, man.
That's what it is, man.
You don't even need to invest
in that
DSLR. You
can't do that
DSLR.
By yourself, though.
Yeah. No, you can't.
Because it zooms in real quick.
Yeah, that's the problem. You can't
close.
Even hold it. Honestly, I've tried doing just an in-hand, and it still zooms.
Tough.
Like, I'm literally, like,
you have to need, like,
phone behind my head.
Yeah.
So that's why she takes those shots,
the fancy ones.
Yeah.
When you're really trying to show up for the gram.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So call in the backup.
Call in the backup and make sure her lens is clean too. Yeah.
Sick. Yeah. So this was, like I said, meant to be a whole, like, recurring segment on the website, CanadaGotSoul.ca. Mm-hmm. But I think it's definitely well-suited for the podcast. Yeah. I didn't even think of doing it on here until I had to think of topics.
Yeah.
So if anything, if you're listening to this and you enjoyed it, let us know. You can DM us or send us an email and let us know if you enjoyed Sneakerheading for Dummies. You can send us some suggestions. I still have a pretty big list in a notebook that I wrote down like a year ago. But maybe we can continue this. I'm sure we could find somewhere to plug it in.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's all I have for today. You guys have anything else or?
Not that I can think of, to be honest.
Well, all right. Thank you to everybody who has supported and or been a part of this podcast. Wherever you're taking in this episode, please leave a comment, review, follow, and or subscribe. You know we like how many stars?
Five.
Cinco stars. We have a Facebook page, which we try and use as a forum, called CGS Talk. That's facebook.com/groups/CGS.talk. You can talk with us. We like to post some discussion questions, and we like to just, like, you know, talk to you guys. Like, talk. CGS Talk. We also have a website called CanadaGotSoul.ca where we put reviews, recaps, stories, and much, much more. Some good content on there. Please check it out. If you'd like to join us on True to Size, if you have any questions or suggestions for the fire round, please shoot us a DM or email us at CanadaGotSoul@gmail.com. I have been your host today, Lawrence Hopkins. You can find me at LDoggyStyles on Instagram. Woof. Joel, where can they find you?
My name is Joel Hernandez. You can find me at Joe Dooney, JO_D3ONEY.
I am Alvin Quincy, and you can find me at MISTERQ and then Mart.
We have been Canada Got Soul. This has been True to Size. Please don't forget to use hashtag Canada Got Soul for a feature. We are CGS, and we are out. That was fun.
Sick, bro.
That's cool.
That was good. Yeah.
That's cool.
Different.
Very different.
Different.
But I like fun. It was so good.
Cool. Different. Yeah. Different.
We'll see how the
we'll see how the
listeners liked it.
Oh, shit.